Welcome to the Friday Fix, where we give you news, reviews, and interviews from the world of singlerism. An extra hit to string you out until Sunday story. And now here's your host, Dark Overlord Media's director of doom, a real girl herself, A. Kovacs. Hello, junkies, and welcome to this edition of the Friday Fix. This time, it is hosted by me, not A. Kovacs, the director of Doom. Why? Because A. Kovacs is our guest here on the Friday Fix today. Why? Because this is our second annual Dark Overlord Media Year in Review. A, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Hey, I assume that you have a beer available?
I have a beer available.
I also have a beer available. Not that any of you underage kids should be drinking underagedly. But we had a really effing busy year and got a lot of things done, which we're going to talk about. Therefore, we get to have a sip of beer. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Now that we are done, I'm sure the emails will now come pouring in that I'm contributing to the downfall of the youth of America and the world.
As if this is the first time.
Exactly. But that I would like to point out that I have listeners in 492 countries.
Really?
Yes, that is a fact. And all of those countries, I am contributing to the downfall of the youth in all of those countries, but not just America.
Isn't that your point? Isn't that the goal?
I am not an American centrist person. I have no problem corrupting the cultures of other countries as well. So I want to start with France.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
well, go with France.
Let's get France corrupted right off the bat. So what we're going to talk about is we are just going to kind of walk through all the cool shit that we as a two-person company accomplished in 2010, and with all the help that we got from people in 2010, and then we're going to finish up by projecting out into 2011 a few of the things that we have coming down the pipe for all of you junkies. Because at this point, they realize there's no new story today, and we only have diehard junkies listening to the rest of this Friday Fix.
That's true, but that's always the Friday Fix, is often not story content, it's other content.
Yeah, it's about half, actually. About half the audience listens to the stories, listens to the Friday Fix. So, unless you measure it in metric, then it's it's 5/8.
Okay, well, yeah.
I know metric.
Right.
With my stellar...
We'll talk about kilometers later, too, since apparently you have a handle on metric.
Yeah, my stellar high school education lets me know what metric is.
Do you know who knows metric?
Do I know who knows metric?
The French.
The French. They invented that shit.
Or probably.
Yeah, actually. See, I do know that. So let's start out 2010. Early 2010, a erstwhile harbinger of doom was preparing to launch Ancestor with Crown Publishing. So we were going through the Ancestor prep, and we took a trip to New York.
We did. We went to the Tools of Change conference and learned a little bit. We learned a lot for Dark Overlord about new media. We met with Crown to kind of strategize the marketing, and there was so much marketing.
There's a lot of marketing.
There was so much. There was a contest for sending in your pre-order receipt. There was... there was a Flickr contest. Mm-hmm. There was, of course, the trailer. There was a lot of blogging. There was a ton of interviews. There were a ton of blog interviews. It was a lot of scheduling.
There was a lot of scheduling. And when you were in New York, you got to meet the Shiv.
I did. Yes. I love the Shiv.
The Shiv.
Yeah.
Don't be fooled. Just because he comes across like a nice guy does not mean he's a nice guy.
Well, I think he's pretty savvy because he took a shine to me. Mostly, I think that's strategic, so that if he actually does shiv me, I won't even see it coming because he looks and acts just.
He's
like
a little crazy with the red pen, if you ask me.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're a little bit sensitive.
I believe that every first draft I submit is Pulitzer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't really even have to finish it. The outline is Pulitzer. It just goes up from there.
Haven't you told me once before that you're a little upset that all the ideas in your head haven't won Pulitzers?
I am.
And Oscars.
Well, absolutely.
The musical should have won Tonys by now.
I only have one musical. Hmm. Yeah. It's Meth Pigeon and the Chromatic Scale of Death. It's going to be pretty sweet.
Awesome.
We got to work on the special effects for
more beer.
the feather shedding meth pigeon, though. So that led us to what was one of our biggest challenges of the year, which was the Ancestor trailer. which, while it has taken a few hits online and a few people have bagged on it, oh, this is author made. You're goddamn right. It's author made. That right. I love that trailer. It's got blood and guns and chicks and dudes and monsters and test tubes with things beating inside of them.
Killer music.
Killer music. We actually went out and got music. Licensed music from one of the bands that I really like called In This Moment. And it just was this massive production. What do you recall about the trailer?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I think we worked with Aaron Proctor, mm-hmm. who directed and was the cinematographer for it. And he treated us just like we hope to do everything that we do. He treated this like any other project. Now, you know, it was about getting the right picture and the prettiest pictures. And that was a hell of a day. We did that whole shoot in one very, very, very long day. And we started out in what was it, like 10 to 4 in the morning. Drove out to the snow where none of us, well, you and I were not equipped for the weather. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there was all that blood and guts and gore. There was the makeup effects guy. There was the FX guy. It was... what, 20 people on our crew?
Yeah. And the big star that I was craft services making bagel sandwiches for people.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. Well, until later in the day when we were in that warehouse in downtown LA.
Yeah.
And then you were the definitely the diva.
I was. I have to tell one funny story about the trailer. We had the special effects guy's name is Ron Karkoska. Uh-huh. And he's done, you have to look him up on IMDb. Karkoska. And by the way, anybody who likes IMDb, the Ancestor trailer is now on IMDb.
Nice.
I think you should all go over there and give it 10 big fat fucking stars and then mess with anybody who criticizes it, because they're all a-holes. Unless you're one of my junkie a-holes who's criticizing the trailer, then that's okay. That's completely different. But Ron comes walking in with 2 5-gallon pickle right. barrels full of blood.
Right.
He comes like right off the bat. He's got, this dude looks like he's a death metal rocker, real quiet in the morning, long shaggy black hair, and he's carrying 2 giant buckets full of blood. I'm like, all right, mm-hmm. I can get along with this guy. And he brings his prosthetics, and then we get out on the set. We're up in the mountains. It's a 2-hour drive up into the mountains, and we're throwing blood all over the snow, which looked great at about 10 a.m. The blood in the snow looked just fantastic. Undisturbed snow, blood all over the place. We're getting ready to shoot the scene where Sven gets eaten. And I'm like, all right, bring out the leg. Because Ron made a severed leg.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron said, oh, what? Are we doing that tomorrow? We're like, it's a 1-day shoot, Ron.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, I thought it was 2 days. I left your severed leg back in the car.
Yeah.
So that tragic. Was a little sad. So we had to dig a hole and stick the guy's leg in there. But he left my severed leg back in the car.
That same scene was actually, he's a super quiet guy. And that was one of my favorite parts of the day. It was a conversation between you and him. And I overheard it about how cool it would be for hikers later in the day to come across this gigantic field of red, 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 red blood that was like, I don't know, 8 feet, 9 feet long by 3 or 4 feet wide, uh-huh. as they're just hiking in the snow, having look, honey, let's go hike in the snow-covered mountains sort of a day, and come across this huge stretch of who the hell died right here. It was funny.
That was the first time Ron smiled the whole day.
Yeah.
We started talking about that. The second time he smiled was out in the field. I'm like, we need more blood. Can we do more blood here? He liked that. And then we were in the warehouse working on the severed hand. He was very excited because we're like, that doesn't look gory enough. Let's ramp it up.
Yeah, he was all about that.
He liked that. So the Ancestor trailer turned out very well. By the time this posts, we'll probably have 20,000 views of that on YouTube, which is great. I think it's contributed to the book sales somewhat. And we're going to continue that. Although when we talk about what's going to happen in 2011, that's when the junkies will learn when the next trailer is going to come out. So it's a great way to market books, and we want to continue doing that. After the Ancestor trailer, I set sail for international waters.
You sure did. You invaded, what, 2 other countries other than the U.S. this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you went on a whirlwind Australia vacation. How'd you like that? You started in Sydney.
Awesome. Yeah, I started in Sydney, then went from Sydney to Perth to Brisbane to Melbourne, did SwanCon in Sydney, then did Supernova in Melbourne, and finished up in Brisbane, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's listening from Supernova, thank you so much. Anybody from SwanCon, thank you so much. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it was
you just, still the whole talk thing about SwanCon awesome. Is one of your favorite favorite cons.
Yeah, I mean, Perth is a little bit removed from the rest of the country.
A little bit, yeah.
But being a small town boy at heart, I had a great time. The SwanCon people were just, there was an enormous amount of celebrating, shall we say, going on. And it was very, very cool. And for anybody, any Americans out there thinking of traveling to a foreign country, cannot recommend Australia enough. Amazing, amazing people, great things to see. Got to go see the Great Barrier Reef.
Right. The FDO took a few days vacation.
Yeah, I took a few days vacation. Saw some rainforest and actually went scuba diving. Went under the water. Thought I was going to die, but said, well, screw it. I got my book published. It's all downhill from here.
Turns out you didn't die.
I didn't die.
One of my favorite memories, and I, of course, don't really have memories from your Australia trip, but my favorite was every single day, we would chat, especially when you were on the east coast of Australia, you were closer in time, we would chat a little bit, and every day by email or IM or whatever, or phone, I would say, send me a picture of what you're doing. And all you sent me, you posted a picture of you at the Sydney Opera House on the blog, and everybody saw that. But the only pictures you sent me the entire time was of stuff you were eating.
Oh, yeah, it was good food.
I saw many pictures of shrimp or what are they called? Bugs?
Mud
bay
bugs.
Yeah. Bay bugs.
Awesome.
And that's it. And I'd be like, you're at the Great Barrier Reef, and that's the third picture of shrimp you've sent me.
I like them. I wanted to eat everything I saw at the Great Barrier Reef, and they told me that was illegal.
That's not how that works.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Some other time I'll tell you the story about how I fended off a shark attack by farting on him, but that's completely separate. So then with Ancestor out, then we started on the Ancestor tour.
Right. Back when we were in New York earlier in the year meeting with Crown, we got all ninja style on them and said, who's going to plan the tour and how many places are you going? And they had said, I think we're going to do an 8-city tour this time, which is incremental from your last Crown tour. And for Contagious, they paid for 5 cities and you paid for 5 cities. Mm-hmm. So then we said, okay, well, what's that budget? And can we go to as many cities as we can get to for that budget? And they went back and kind of talked amongst themselves and came back and said, yeah, here's your bottom line number. Go crazy. Mm-hmm. And you and I made that, was it 19 cities?
Well, you and I is a bit of a stretch. It was you made that. Okay. 19. For the budget, they were going to send us to 7 cities. We did 19. Yeah.
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 And that was not easy for you. I mean, that I might have done the planning, but you had to do that horrific schedule. That get up in the morning, get to the airport, take a flight, land, do the show. I'm sorry, do the reading, go to the bar, try not to drink too much. Get up the next day, get on a plane, do it all over again. And you did that for, was it 15 days in a row? It was a different city every day.
Yeah.
Whoo.
Good time.
Yeah.
We're seasoned at that, though, because of the rookie tailgate tour.
That's true. That's
the only
true.
Thing was trying to get used to, because this, in the rookie tailgate tour, I would get up. I had A helping in part of the trip. I had my buddy Rob Otto helping in the other part of the trip. And basically, I would have to get up, clean up, go into the car, and go to sleep while somebody else would drive me.
Right.
In Australia, on the Ancestor tour, I didn't have that.
Right.
So I had to wind up, I was like Ralph Macchio in The Karate Kid. Wax on, wax off. People would be like, FTO, here's a shot. FTO, here's a shot. Wah-pah, wah-pah. I had wax on, wax off. I was knocking shots out of the air. I couldn't, yeah, I'm like, thank you very much for the shots, you guys, but I'm tipsy at 2 and drunk at 3 beers.
Yeah.
I can't be doing shots and then have to get up at 5 a.m. and get to the airport.
But we had a lot of junkies really come out in force to help us. Just like, I mean, we had a lot of offers on the rookie tour, and we had... on the Ancestor tour, we had a lot of people sort of stop what they were doing and change their day to kind of help accommodate you. Pick you up at the airport in Chicago. Paul Herring picked you up at the airport in Chicago and kind of drove you around and made sure you got what you needed. And I think in Dallas, you had Gary do that. And Tweed did that in San Antonio. You had a lot of people come out and sort of say, like, I know you're doing this for us. How can we help you do that? And I love that part of the,
it was great.
The task. Yeah.
And during that process, I got to violate Toronto.
You did. Yes. Third country in...
It's the third country that has been sullied with Sigler stank. And that is communicable, people. So you are from Toronto. Any city, actually, you can continue to spread the Sigler stank through casual encounters or by any means necessary. So between Australia and the Ancestor Tour, What do we do for miles this year?
Well, last year you had about 24,000 miles or so. I can't exactly remember, but we talked about it during the year in review. And this year I thought, as I was putting together the Australia tour and putting together the Ancestor tour, I thought, ooh, that's going to be a lot. And you, in addition, you went to Dragon Con, you made a trip to LA. So fan or business-based travel, I have the numbers, mm-hmm. but I, just like last year, I would like for you to make a guess. I know you hate to guess.
I did 24,000 in 2009.
About 24,000 in 2009. And this year you went to Australia, you went to Canada, you went on the Ancestor Tour, you did the
You realize I'm not so good with the distances.
Yeah, last year you said, I asked you to guess and you said 11 miles. So yes, I'm pretty sure you're not good with the distances.
Well, I think you've overbid on the prize pack and the prize.
This
price
is not
is
the
right.
Showcase Showdown.
No?
No.
I was going to guess 1 mile.
1 mile?
Yes.
Okay, guess again.
Okay, I would say about 30,000 miles.
Okay. Doing, if I'm rounding up for the point whatever miles, in 2010, and we're not exactly done with the year, but we're pretty close to the end of the year, and I don't know that you're going to make any more business-based
I'm done.
Travel.
Done.
41,838 miles.
41,000. I just wrote that down as if it would somehow give it more validity if I was writing. 41,838 miles.
Yeah. And for the French, that's 67,332 kilometers.
All right, French people. There you go. There's your silly metric system. Why aren't inches and yards good enough for the French?
Well,
why are the French so snooty that they can't use our normal system of measurement?
I think that, you know, I mean, it's 41,000 miles, but it's 67 some odd thousand kilometers.
Okay.
And that's more impressive because it's bigger.
For those of you familiar with Bob and Doug McKenzie from the movie Strange Brew, metric system is very easy. Very easy. You just take your English measurement, you double it, and you add 20. That's how you convert to metric. Yeah. Everything. Yes.
No. FYI, no.
No. No. Okay. So those young people who are listening, who are now halfway into a bottle of beer because I had one, they now are messed up on metric.
Yeah. But actually, that 41,838 miles is too many. I mean, it's too many. It's
I was
really
gone,
hard.
At one point, we figured out I was gone from home for 5 months out of the year total.
Yeah, right at the end of the Ancestor Tour, we did a little figuring and figured that you were gone 51% of the time to date. So that was mid-July, and you were gone half the time. And very little of that was personal travel, was visiting your family or vacationing
or anything like that. The 3 days in the Great Barrier Reef was the only vacation in there.
Right.
So, but we run a small business, and that's the only way we can get out and meet the customers, basically, is to get on the road and pimp.
Yeah, but Sigler, don't lie. I mean, you know you dig it.
It's a good time.
Yes, that's true.
I would love to be the rock star type and piss and moan about, oh, the road is so hard, man. Being on the road is so hard. Yeah, as far as difficult jobs go, when you have spent a summer shoveling horse crap, yeah, it's really not that difficult of a job. I would take that over my time at Office Max, Home Depot, Guitar Center,
exactly,
any day of the week.
And I'll tell you, for the amount of, I mean, there were some really hard times, relatively speaking, hard times in there. The every day another city on the Ancestor Tour, that gets pretty hard to do. I mean, from judging from my own experience on the ground, where you didn't have to deal with time zones on the rookie tour, that gets hard to do.
Yeah.
And you don't complain because, like you say, you know, they're definitely worse jobs.
Getting out to meet everybody is just friggin' fantastic. The only problem with that kind of schedule is you get to go to a place like Toronto, you get to see the hotel, you get to see the bookstores, and you get to see the airport.
Right.
That's the only remote bitch about it that I would compare to.
And one pub.
And one, at least one pub.
At least one pub.
At least one pub. That's the only thing I would compare to when you hear people complaining about their touring, how difficult their touring life is. Mm-hmm. So then we finish up the Ancestor Tour, and we were right away working on finishing up the starter, which some asshole got you several months late, the manuscript, I think.
You know, I don't think I chose asshole as the terminology, but it's a little rough when your 5 month production schedule becomes a 36 day production schedule. It's a little hard to condense. Yeah.
But we got, I have blanked a lot of that out.
That's a good thing. It's a lot easier that way.
we had some ladies and gentlemen. When I whisper like this, it's an aside. A can't actually hear it. we had several intense discussions during that particular time in our working relationship.
I can hear you.
Oh, you can?
And they weren't exactly intense discussions. I think I had the biggest fight of my life with you during that process. I mean, my entire life. My older brother and I used to fight when we were kids. I'm pretty sure I never had any kind of a fight anywhere near as big as the one I had with you.
I don't remember.
That's good. We won't talk about it anymore. But
I'm blocking it out.
But the important lesson here is we learned from our mistakes.
We did. And those 10 stitches, those will teach you a lesson. Let's keep that in mind. So we put the starter to bed and then we had the ancestor tour. And then came both a draining and extremely fulfilling experience in San Diego of the starter Hell Week. But this time Starter Hell Week was 1 week because we learned so much from Rookie Hell Week, which was supposed to be nine hour days and wound up being 9 14-hour days.
Right. So this again was supposed to be 5 9-hour days and it was four 10-hour days?
It was 4 10. Yeah. We actually shaved a little bit of time off the estimates. We more than cut our production time in half to send you guys the starter as it took us to get the rookie out. Mm-hmm. So it was great.
Yeah. You know, I think for us that the starter was, it's interesting that the books are named the Rookie and the Starter, because I think the Rookie, we just like the title would suggest, we were kind of winging it.
Irony.
That's an aside again.
Irony.
We were kind of winging it and everything was a surprise and not a surprise because we didn't know what we didn't know. And we kind of went into it with that mentality. Mm-hmm. And then with the starter, it was like, okay, so we are either going to do this. What I learned with the starter is I think we now know what is the right way and what isn't the right way. And it would be better if we want to publish the remaining 5 books to do it the right way.
And we do want to publish the remaining 5 books.
We sure
books.
Do, yeah. And the All Pros are already in process, come along. So that's
5 books and 4 novellas.
Should we talk about that?
We can talk about it a little. Basically, we have a corporate goal, ladies and gentlemen. Our corporate goal is to not only put out 5 more hardcovers, including the All Pro, which we're already well into, but then an audiobook only, which means we podcast it, novella bridging each book.
Right.
So the one that bridged from the Rookie to the Starter was Title Fight.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, originally I was going to try and do some sports related novella between each of the books, but it may not turn out to be sports related. We'll see, but there will be some kind of really key information. So to have the complete Rookie experience, those of you who've never heard Title Fight, but have read the Starter have no idea that there was information in there because you don't need it.
Right.
You can enjoy it if you want. It gives you more depth and backstory, but you don't actually need it.
Right.
All the novellas are going to be like that. They won't need them, but they can, if they want more from the universe, they can have it.
Yeah. I think the bridge fiction is kind of a fun treat because it works either way. You can do it or you can't do it. You did the same thing for Ancestor where you did a little bit of bridge fiction before mm-hmm. Ancestor came out that was informative in tying the pieces between Contagious and Ancestor together and I think might even have broader strokes in the Siglerverse, as it were, than people realize at the moment. Mm-hmm. But all that bridge fiction, I think, is sort of a fun extra.
Yeah. There's a lot, thanks to A's work, people, we have a much bigger scope on what the Siglerverse storyline is going to be literally over the next 20 years. So a lot of times the short stories, other than the set I'm working on that is codenamed HH&H.
Ooh, I love HH&H.
Codename HH&H is not in the continuity, not in the storyline in any way, shape, or form.
Wait, isn't it HH&S?
It is HH&S.
Yeah, it's HH&S.
Yes. HH&S.
You can see why I'm the administrative and logical. You're the talent.
I can't keep track of this shit. So, So other than that, everything is interconnected. And the more stuff you see come out, the prequel fiction for Ancestor had really far ranging things that are going to be felt all the way up through the Rookie, the start of that entire series.
People, this is an aside. I don't know if you know that yet. I know you know that there was Contagious tie in, but it's bigger than that.
I can't hear anything.
Good. Well, that's good. That's
this
good.
Strange aside land in which you are speaking.
You can't call it aside if you couldn't hear anything. You wouldn't have known I'd set aside.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't know the rules of this yet. It's some Shakespearean thing. Yeah. Everybody in this side of the stage, pretend you're doing something. Everybody in this side of the stage, talk to the audience. And okay, it's magic.
Listen. Yeah.
So we get done with the starter hell week, which was when we watched that final USPS truck pull away. We had it set up so badass. A had it set up. The trucks came to us this time. The trucks came to us, picked up all of our stuff. First they came and they dropped off these big orange bins. We were loading boxes with full postage in the orange bins, labeled. The trucks came. We put the bins in the trucks. And then we were done. We were like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Well, I will say that I'm super glad you're impressed, but that's mostly how most businesses do that. We just learn the hard, that's what I'm saying. We learn the hard way the first time. I'm glad you're impressed by it, but it is the way normal.
Small business is a learning, learning process. Yeah. That's right.
We did find it interesting. The last day we have recently, which we'll talk a little bit more about. We recently released the ebooks and the audiobooks. We partnered with a company called Back My Book to do that. And we were just in the beginning of negotiations or whatever. At that time, we were beginning to get to know them. And they came on the last day of shipping to help. Mm-hmm. And they're just like us. They're a handful of, I think they're four guys or three guys, small business, trying to do something bigger. And they just came to lend their muscle and whatever. And it was interesting because on the last day of that, we'd been, and they were long days. They were 10-hour days. Mm-hmm. Tay improved the process. Remember, he started to, they kind of came in and sort of looked at it all and processized it their own way. And the getting the right label on the right personalized book so that you get a book that has the inscription you asked for, that he processized by doing that first. Which was interesting. I thought, that's whatever. 3,000 books later, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a very good idea.
And it's 3,000 books. And just as a quick aside, and this is the kind of aside that you can all hear, so I'm not going to use this voice. As a quick aside, we keep talking that the rookies are running out, but they are actually,
yeah, we have less than 300 left.
We're really close. This is a very big deal to us, you guys. If you don't follow publishing, and most people don't, we will have sold 3,000 hardcover books at $34.95 a piece, as my agent calls it. Those are fucking Harry Potter prices. Mm. So that's much more than a normal hardcover cost, because there's so much extra stuff in it. We're coming close to selling out a run of 3,000 hardcover copies at that at the highest, basically one of the higher price points in the industry.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that we owe that all to you guys, the fans. But that's a pretty big effing deal if we pull that off.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we have less than 300 left. I don't exactly know when by this will actually run sometime very close to the end of the year, so just mm-hmm. a couple of weeks from now, and or a week or so, and we may even be at 250 or less. I don't know, but yeah, it's an interesting thing. I actually think that if we keep April 1st as our on sale date for pre-order for the remaining books, which is our goal, I think during the pre-order phase, we'll always be selling two books. Mm-hmm. We may well be sold out of the rookie by the time we put the all pro on sale. I think it's very, very likely at the rate that we're going now.
Sweet. Sweet. So we get done with Starter Hell Week. Then we do Dragon Con, mm-hmm. which is an effing good time all the time.
It is.
I hear the next Dragon Con, my cousin's got a hold of me.
Oh, really? Which ones?
All of them, actually.
All of them are coming to Dragon Con. So wait, that's Frankie.
Yeah. I heard Francis Dominic Olivier. I hear he's going to Dragon Con this coming year. Yeah.
Is my boy Soup Bone coming?
Soup Bone says he's in. He says he's got what do you say, 3 more weeks and 4 days in that Turkish prison, and then he's out.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, but he knows. It's like his third stint there.
But so your
he's
in good with it. Kind of big, though. So isn't there also...
Really excited. Pope Siglericus is coming.
Really?
Yeah. Pope Siglericus the 30th is going to be making an appearance at Dragon Con.
Interesting, interesting.
Yes. He's told me that... I want nothing to do with this. Mm. He has told me he is arriving to deliver moist blessings upon the females of Atlanta.
Wait, that was Soup Bone or that was the Pope?
This Pope Siglericus.
Oh.
Yes. Pope Triple X.
Ooh. Yeah. 30th.
Yeah. Mm. So I will not be around for that because I can't afford for the brand to be sullied by someone passing out moist blessings. Or my cousin Soup Bone is trying to recruit people to be prostitutes.
Yeah, that's
right. I can't be around that.
So we actually, this is, we went to Dragon Con. on. We had a starter kickoff sort of thing. Again, with the just like with the Ancestor Tour, there's a lot of stuff that where there are folks who contribute. So contribute to the work. So Donna, who is our diva of design, was at the kickoff. Some of our editors were at the kickoff. So we'll probably do the same thing for the All Pro. Have a beer drinking, storytelling, showing off of tattoos, kind of an occasion.
Yes, we also got our Dark Revel Media tattoos.
We did. We were so pleased to be done with it. I'll tell you, people, the starter, we are hearing a lot of nice things about the starter. I personally really, really like this book. I also am so glad it's over. It was a rough
ride for us.
So yeah, we got tattoos to say, fuck yes, we're done. But we were showing those off and telling stories and everything.
We weren't entirely done though. Because we built the new green screen of Doom.
We did.
Which is awesome. And we're only starting to scratch the surface of what we will be doing with that. We can't tell you what our plans are with the green screen of Doom just yet. Trying to get more video of your FDO being obnoxious and having a good time.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we finished up the final culmination of the starter process, which was recording an entire effing audiobook.
Yes.
And on your side of the fence, putting out two entire effing ebooks.
Right. And for my side of the fence, it was a little bit easier. I do so much of the business end of the business, and you do the talent end of the business as much as we can. And I worked with great people for the ebook. We ebook architects put together our ebooks, and they were super, super patient. And Chris Casey came to us and said, I'm a junkie and I would like to help. And then we said, oh, sure, come help us. And then I bet we had sort of a challenging go of that for him more so than some other books, but he did a great job, and ebook architects did a great job. Yeah. And
now he has said that I can buy him a beer. I'm pretty sure back in that process, he would have kicked me square in the nuts if we'd met.
That's true. That's true. You did, during that process, you promised to send the office a keg. We might want to check with Joshua, who owns the business, before we do that.
Maybe that was the meth talking.
It might have been. Sure. Yeah. Okay. But so that was great. So the ebooks went really well. And we launched them not too long ago. We launched them in the beginning of December, and we had a little bit of trouble with the relationship between downloading and everything else with Back My Book, but that's all running really smoothly. Back My Book did a great job of fixing it permanently the first time, which is good. I think our goal for the All Pro is to not crash any server on that one day. Yep. And we've done it with the Rookie, and we did it with the All Pro, or we did it with the Starter, and we did it with the Starter and Rookie audiobooks and ebooks. Hopefully we won't do it for the All Pro, but I want to go back just a little bit and talk about the audiobook recording, because I think that people don't quite understand what a challenge it is for you. We hear all the time that you have the sound booth of Doom and the office of Doom and everything, but the office of Doom, I've been to the office of Doom, and it's a normal sized office, but the sound booth is a 4 foot square little cubby hole. Mm-hmm. And you were recording that audiobook in August in this hot room where you can't have air conditioning because it ruins the sound. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy go, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think it's a higher quality product when you record the book all in one go. But I don't know if it was so high quality that it was worth it to you to sweat that much.
Well, we know we're going to do that again for the All Pro. So yeah, it's a very tiny, you know what? When I edit this, I'm going to put in some violin strings right here, a little violin section. It's a tiny, tiny, dark place, and it's lonely.
Oh.
It's weeks upon weeks of sitting in this dark room by yourself because I can't afford electricity.
Oh, poor little boo-boo.
The hum of the fluorescent lights will interfere with the recording. Oh. And there's no air conditioning. And we're on the third floor, and all the heat in this old building collects in my office.
Aww.
And I'm all sweaty. I'm sweaty and nasty, and it lasts forever. But I do this for you, fans. I do this for you. my Jewish grandfather would be so proud. Okay, so that, and then we have actually launched. We crashed another server, but yes, we launched the Starter and the Rookie ebooks. We have ebooks, audiobooks. We got them for Nook, for Kindle. You can get them for iPad, the open EPUB format. We've really knocked the crap out of that booger.
Yeah, people are really excited about it. It's an interesting thing because we're always trying to maintain a business model that provides dedicated junkies with the product that they've sort of come to expect and that they earn. You know, the system of you saying, here's what I need when I need it, and here's all this free stuff in between. works really well. We want to continue to do that. This time we sort of launched the audiobook first, and there's it's been quite a good response. There's quite a lot of people who are happy to say, like, right, I'm happy to wait for it. I'm happy to wait until February. I'm glad you're going with your bad self, but I'm happy to wait. Mm-hmm. And then there's a handful of people who are like, yep, I'd just as soon have it now and listen to it in the spring, episodically. So that's actually been a really nice thing for us to see that it there's a way for it to work both ways. And I've received a ton of email talking about, I get all the emails for Making It Right. And a lot of people say something sort of along the lines of, I've been waiting. I don't, I wanted the ebook. I don't want to mess up my hardcover. Mm-hmm. Or I love the audio and I love to be able to support the audio. And this is the first time I can do that. So it's sort of nice.
It is. Part of our goal is, our corporate goal of two people is we want to provide the books in as many formats as possible, because we're not trying to make you guys go to a specific place to enjoy stuff. It's really up to you. So right. We close out 2010. And now we'll give the junkies a little sneak peek of what is coming in 2011. 2011, the one thing that you have drilled into my head is it's a year for writing. It's not a year for traveling.
I know. The junkies are going to, if they don't hate me already, they're going to hate me for this. But yeah, right now you are under deadline for two books. Mm-hmm. That are already competing deadlines. They are from the get-go competing deadlines. And that will take you through pretty much all the way through the spring. And with the two book deadlines and the video and the ramp up for the marketing for the books and whatever, that is kind of the size of things, I think. I think that junkies might not like to hear it, but you're not going to be at ZombieCon and you're not going to be at Def Con, and you're not going to be at Gen Con, and you're not going to anything. I think we've talked about it, and I can be the bad guy here, but we definitely decided together. I think we're going to Dragon Con this year, because fucking Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. And we're going to Balticon. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to try and go to Comic-Con this year, because right. You went to Comic-Con a few years back and it was really good for you. I love Comic-Con, but we've never been together. So maybe this year Comic-Con as well.
Good. And no book tour this year. I remember I was telling you guys, I don't want to, that's almost a 7-mile drive from my house to get to where you're at in Chicago. I think I'll wait till you come to my downtown. Yeah, there's no touring in 2011. If you don't see me at one of the cons, you won't see me at all. So at this point, we're looking at, because the next book from Crown won't be out until 2012. Mm-hmm. It's basically over 2 years between hitting even the big places I hit all the time.
Right.
So just for future reference, you guys, if you want to come out and say hello and you see me, if I'm on tour anywhere near you, just remember that might be the one chance to come out and say, hey. Unless you're a con goer, which most people aren't. Most people are too busy to go to cons.
Right. Yeah.
So next time you see them in your area, make sure you get your ass out. But Balticon is...
Yeah, there's a little bit of a special caveat for Balticon that's important to talk about.
Yeah, so it's a real modest affair we're planning.
It is a modest affair we're planning. I know a lot of people have been waiting a lot. I'm going to let you talk about it, but I know a lot of junkies on the site definitely have been waiting to hear news about a specific, Sigler-specific get-together, junkie-specific get-together. And I am pleased that on this show we get to kind of say, absolutely, we're in.
We're in. We're in for, it's. I want to call it JunkieCon.
Right.
But the people who organize Balticon are a little uncomfortable with that name, so we don't know if we get to use it or not.
Yeah, and I understand that. This is their 45th year, and it sounds like a competing con if we call it a con. And so instead we've been tossing around names. We don't really exactly have a name, but we're probably not going to call it JunkieCon, and the current working title is Siglerfest.
Yeah, a little Siglerfest.
Nonetheless, think that the folks who have been waiting to hear news of what was JunkieCon and is now Siglerfest will be pleased to know that we're in.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Do you know when?
I have no idea.
It's May 27th. It's the Friday before Balticon.
May 27th, 2011?
11.
2011 is Siglerfest, an entire day of programming involving, surrounding, orbiting, and dedicated do me.
Oh no, it's already a problem.
Yeah.
It's kind of a celebration of the Sigler universe, the Siglerverse, and the junkie experience, and certainly you. It's not exactly all about you.
We're gonna have games, trivia games, panels.
Yeah. We're gonna have probably selected readings that only happen
at your disc insertion.
No. Not creating any robot armies of any sort. We've talked about this. No.
Cattle roping?
No.
No. Human catapult?
No. We might do a Velcro wall. Not so sure.
Velcro wall. Velcro wall is awesome for somebody my size. I've done the Velcro wall. Piece of cake. Yeah, piece of cake. I can do the flip and the turn and splatter against the wall. It's great. I want to see Big John Viscari do the Velcro wall.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be entertainment to me.
So here's the news, and then you can get a swelled head about Siglerfest all you want. But the news is this. It'll be the Friday before, we're doing it in conjunction with Balticon. In their infinite wisdom and good grace, they have said, yeah, we think this is a fun idea. So it'll be at the Hunt Valley Marriott. It would be, we're not exactly sure of pricing and all that other stuff yet, but that should come soon. It'll be the Friday that Balticon starts at like 5 p.m. that Friday. We'll be doing it from, I don't know, 8 or 9 in the morning until that night. Mm-hmm. The night before, that Thursday night before, we may do the sort of, we may do a party dinner or something, depending on when everybody gets in.
Okay.
It makes sense for you. If you're going, you might as well stay the whole weekend. It's a Memorial Day weekend.
If you're going to Siglerfest, find a way to stay for Balticon.
And here's one thing about Balticon. We've been working with them pretty closely, and we're making sure that the stuff that happens at Siglerfest is separate and unique from how you participate at Balticon.
Okay.
So if you go and you stay the whole weekend and there's so much stuff to see. There's the new media track, but there's also all this other stuff. But say you're just into new media, there's going to be all sorts of other podcasters there,
It's kind of the podcasters convention.
It is, yeah. But even if all you were doing is coming to see Sigler, you would get different input. You'd get different stuff on Friday and then over the weekend. We're not doubling up. So that's actually a pretty nice thing.
Well, that's going to be fun. This year, it's going to be one day. And then I believe in 2012, it's going to be a month-long. Siglerfest becomes a month-long retreat in the caves of Bora Bora.
If there are
caves. If there's not caves there, we're going to dig them.
I think you're making things up.
I don't think so. That's actually my job.
Yeah, that is true. That's unfortunate. That is your job.
So that's the awesome stuff. If you guys are in that area, or if you've never been to a con, it's a great con to go to because it's affordable.
It's small.
If you like podcasts at all, it's a great way to get started in the con because don't get me wrong. It's geeky. It's geeky and it's nerdy. But it is not the overwhelming sensory assault of nerddom that is Dragon Con.
Right.
Dragon Con is like the press gangs of the English sailors beating people up in the streets of Baltimore and throwing them onto a ship for indentured servitude. It's that bad. It's serious. There's a stormtrooper parade.
There is. There's the 501st come out.
That's Dragon Con. But if you just want to ease your way into cons, then Balticon, you cannot go wrong with Balticon.
And I'll tell you, just this month, earlier this month, Brand Gamblin, who does Calls for Cthulhu, he actually put out this terrific blog post about Balticon specifically, but why cons are important to him and why he likes to go to cons. And it's a terrific read because it's how your... for him specifically, it's a very specific story, but it's kind of this idea that your nerd life fits into your real life and your real life fits into your nerd life at a con like this. So anyway, we hope we see you guys out there. It'll be a good time.
And if you guys do come out, there will be Tuaca.
Tuaca and t-shirts and yeah.
There'll be a lot of shit. So watch scottsigler.com for that. And then we'll finish up. Now, of course, you guys know that the All Pro is coming.
Yeah.
That's book 3 of the Galactic Football League series.
Give us a little taste. Give us something that we don't know.
Something that we don't know from the All-Pro?
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you, Quentin's family does get some treatment in this one. There are even more rivalries coming out of the woodwork.
Nice.
And for some strange reason, Quentin Barnes just keeps having all of these gangsters who are really pissed off at him.
Imagine that.
And then... We're going to introduce as side stories, not one, but two awesome sports.
Nice.
Two awesome blood splattery sports.
I know of one.
One with little people.
Yes. Right. One with little people. I know about that one. I don't think I know about the other one yet, even. That's interesting.
I was saying it's one with midgets, and then I got in trouble.
Yeah. They're not midgets. They're not little people.
They're little people.
Yeah.
Okay. But I find a way to spin that too, because it's not just little people. It's also
young people.
Adult. It's young people. Yeah. So who are much more fun to kill.
Yeah.
Well, it's ad hoc knowledge. Anyway, so that is coming out, the All Pro. That is going to be available in 2011 in hardcover as an full audiobook download, as an ebook, and then it will also come out as probably a podcast in February 2012.
Right.
Somewhere in that ballpark. Mm-hmm. And then here's the big, you guys know all of this. Here's the big news. Here's the big news we are dropping as we're closing in on 50 minutes on this podcast. We're going to finish up. The big news for 2011 is we are going to release an ebook. What are we going to give them?
Oh, we've actually had recently, interestingly, a handful of questions about this. We have committed to releasing ebook only, Bloodcast Season 1, Bloodcast Season 2, and Title Fight.
Title Fight. Sweet.
Yeah.
So as ebooks continue to grow, we're going, by the end of the year, we will have at least 5 ebook titles out available.
And I think that because you are the king of the up level and you always have to give a little bit more, you have convinced me that you need to add to each one of those, you need to add a little new content. Is that right?
That's correct.
But they're complete stories. You don't need to add anything.
We got to add something to Bloodcast 1 and 2. Some of those stories, we podcast some of those stories in 2006. So
they have my favorite. Bloodcast has my absolute all-time favorite Sigler story.
Which one? Which is what?
Which is Red Man.
You got Red Man?
That's my favorite story.
Red Man. And it's going to be a little Chuckles Mulrooney.
Chuckles Mulrooney
We may run the copyright gambit and put in You're a Damn Fool, Charlie Brown.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pa-choo. Or Bagman. Bagman's a good story.
Bagman. We're going to get...
The Great Snipe Hunt.
We're going to have to blackmail J.C. Hutchins, but we're going to have you social networking in there.
Yeah. You know what? I'm not going down the road for this this year in review and talking about J.C. Hutchins. J.C. Okay. and I, we're on the same page. And you are wrong. He's a good man.
That's the Page of Fools is what it's called. It's actually book 7 in the Bible.
I think this whole thing is that you're jealous because he's a talented mofo. He's a funny mofo. And I think you're a little bit threatened.
I'm threatened by his hair.
Yeah, well, there's that.
He's got that hair.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should put a screwdriver in his temple. Yeah, funny guy. Yeah, he'll be. You know what? I'll make sure his corpse has a smile embedded. I'm not saying I'm threatening his life. I'm saying when he dies of natural and or suspicious causes, of which I had nothing to do with.
How much do you like Dark Overlord Media?
I like, this is great. Hopefully this will be our...
Now that we've had the biggest fight of my life, we'll no longer fight again, and now we don't fight, and now we're good partners.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah. Yeah.
If anything ever happens to, not only just to J.C. Hutchins, but to any singular hair on his head.
Yeah.
Or his fantastic sister, or any of his characters.
Oh boy.
We're done.
I can still kill Phil Rossi though, can't I?
Phil Rossi's kind of cute.
God damn it. Listen, we got to talk about your priorities. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That is our long-winded wrap-up of 2010. Mm-hmm. Anybody who is still listening at this point, we love you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for buying our stuff, listening to our stuff. If you don't buy our stuff, thank you for listening to all of our stuff. Mm-hmm. Because time is the currency of life, and that's the thing that you can always make more money. You can't ever get those hours back that you were listening to me jibber-jab. So right. 2010 was our best year yet out of two.
Yeah, true. So
clearly also, our best year yet. And
also one of our hardest of the two.
And I think that if you guys stick around for 2011, we're going to have a lot of super cool stuff. Everything's going pretty good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. And I think that's it. Do you have any final words, other than, you know, praising my deepest, darkest of heart enemy?
Well, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm a huge J.C. Hutchins fan, but I am working with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I like you too, kind of.
Yeah.
But no, I only have to say Happy New Year to the junkies.
And, Happy New Year.
And I think 2011, I am really excited for the All Pro. I'm really excited for us to move into ebooks and stuff like that. And I think it's going to go so fast with so much new stuff. Nobody's going to notice that. Okay,
yep.
They're going to notice that you're not out on the road. But you're just going to have to raise a glass for us.
All right. Raise a glass for us, junkies. Hopefully we will see you at Sigler Fest. You won't see me on the road. Other than that, I will talk to you all real soon. You have been listening to The Friday Fix, hosted by A. Kovacs, produced by the A-team of A. Kovacs and Ariok Morningstar. Content in this podcast is copyright of Dark Overlord Media and might just kick you in the nuts when you're not looking. For more information on author Scott Sigler and for free weekly audio fiction, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song City of Angels by The Distillers off the album Sing Sing Death House.